Hello?
Hello.
Okay, I'm back.
Our sincere apologies. Let's see now. It's what? 8 o'clock control. We were supposed to start, what, an hour and a half ago?
We both forgot about our podcast.
Podcast number two. Down the tubes.
Well, I guess we're still in the trial period of the trial podcasts.
Yes, thank goodness our listenership is still at zero.
Yeah, no doubt. OMG.
Yeah, we didn't even discuss the subject for this week. We're bad. We got plenty to talk about, but I mean, if certain things should be done before every podcast, and one of them is call the podcast on time, and the other is have a subject ready on hand that you studied up for. And so here we are talking about being dumb. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you spell Abkadeski Jekyll Monop Chris Duvixes? There we go. Yeah, there's a subject for us. No, seriously. Yeah.
Yep, I just posted it on Facebook. OMG, we forgot about our own podcast. Crap. We are recording. Anyone sees this. We're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, all of you who called in.
Oh, yeah. All of you sorry.
Yeah. Probably nobody, but still, we're sorry. Oh, nice.
Oh, that's crazy. I could have swore I set an alarm, but I guess I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
All right, so I'll have to set an alarm as well. Word of warning, my cell phone is not fully charged, so I get lost before the hour is over.
That's all right, I guess we'll end it then.
You'll have to, yeah.
Now that I'm on Facebook, I gotta see what's going on. Not much.
Has anybody commented on our last podcast?
No. Oh, well, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, they put a comment, but it doesn't look like it was related to the podcast.
No. Nobody cares. Just kidding.
Nobody cares.
I'm sure somebody does, but I don't know. Maybe we. Well, I don't know that it's our name. I mean, people really don't know what we do or what we talk about necessarily, as far as
true
the podcast
enough
goes. So it's going to take some time to build listeners and whatnot.
Right.
Especially if we keep forgetting to call in.
We only forgot once.
I know. Well, my truck broke down, and well, both trucks broke down, and so that was our distraction.
True enough.
That's our excuse.
Well, we can discuss that a little bit. Your truck that I'm using is a Dodge Dakota, and it was having ignition problems, and I got a ride into town today to get the part that I thought was broken. And when I got my hands on the part, I looked at it and I go, that part is so simple. I doubt if it's the broken part, right? But nonetheless, I got a tool that I needed in order to take the collar on the steering column apart, and got that off and got looking at it. And it looks like it's a loose screw. And it's in the darndest of places.
You got a screw loose, all right.
I got a screw loose, all right. Anyway. Yeah, usually it's the nut behind the wheel, but this time it's a loose screw. Anyway.
You're right, behind the wheel.
Sort of. It's in the steering column. Anyway. anyway. it's in the darndest of places. For all I can tell, the only way to get to it is to actually take the steering wheel off. And as I recall, we had to do that in order to put the ignition and the ignition switch in the first place. And this was 2 years ago. And so I'm trying to remember what I did 2 years ago. And fishing around
it.
Well, but I helped. I was there when he did it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And
I thought you just helped break
it. Yeah, I was there when he did it, and he had me do some of it, and he did most of it. You're
All
laughing.
Right.
I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I said, oh, you helped fix it. I thought you just helped break it.
Well, I helped break it. Yes, that's how I helped fix it. I'm the one who broke it. George is the one who fixed it.
You're the one who was using it at the time when it broke. It was 15
yeah.
years old.
Yeah, as you recall, the whole thing kind of kablooey. The actual ignition, the ignition switch, the part where the key went into the backside of it, as I recall, was broken. And that was an aluminum part, if I remember right. And the actual ignition switch is the ignition itself, part with all the switches in it that... yeah, I'm not sure why the name, what. Maybe I got the names wrong, but all the same. The actual switch part was all messed up, too. Even after you took out the lock part, the switches weren't making proper contacts when they were supposed to. I guess all the springs had been, you know, knocked loose. And so it was a mess. None of the brushes were hitting what they were supposed to hit. And so, yeah, it was... Anyway, so we replaced both. I remember that much. And so anyway, I you know, like I said, I got the collar off, and I found out that if I took a wrench handle and pressed against that one little teeny tiny screw, that I could get it to work again. And so I was able to start up the truck, and then I drove it over by John's garage, and Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, I'm going to go over there, and we'll take a look at it. So I'm kind of stranded until then. But that's all right, because my next job offer is over at Bill's, which is, you know, right here. So it's all within walking
distance.
So, but, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that I might not have an ignition switch in my next vehicle. I might have a complicated series of buttons that you have to push in the right order in various weird locations. You might not even know the button exists. So if you go to steal my truck... You might be diving down the road with no lights because you didn't push the right buttons in the right sequence.
That's it.
Yeah. Anyway. All righty. Enough of that one. Any other subject matter to talk about? That was like 10 minutes worth of conversation.
10 minutes. I'm really not even sure. I mean, we typically talk about health, nutrition, politics, religion. Not really politics, but it would fall in the categories of politics.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Republican versus Democrat, if that's what you think of politics. It'd be more along the lines of Republican and Democrat versus something else.
Americans.
Yeah.
the rest of us.
Yeah, it's yeah. Well, I don't know. I think my politics kind of covers the whole world. You know, it's authoritarianism versus non-authoritarianism.
You must respect my authority.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Anyway. Yeah. So that's my politics. And then health, of course. Talk a lot about health. You know. Who's your health provider?
God.
Yeah. The good Lord up in heaven provides my health care. And he seems to be doing an excellent job of it. Yeah, I don't need Obama coming in and being my God. So Osama bin Laden. No.
Osama Barack Obama.
Salama or Barack Obama, I can't even say it.
Yeah, we believe in free food and medicine. God gave it to us.
Definitely.
Growing on the earth, and we just go out and pick it and eat it.
Though I have to admit, I forgot that I had a major source of vitamin C all around me and went into town and bought probably $10 worth of orange juice. Well, yeah, close to $10. $10 worth of orange juice before I got a clue and actually bought $5 worth of oranges and grapefruit and lemons. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, I have this excellent source of vitamin C available for free. You know, it's like,
it's not tasty.
It is tasty. It makes an excellent
tea.
It is tasty. Say what?
It's not as tasty, though.
Oh, I don't know. Cedar makes is very tasty. Just add a little sugar. It's like candy.
Cedar candy.
It really is. Say what?
Cedar candy.
I think it'd make an excellent.
Instead of Cedar County, it's Cedar candy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No. I was originally thinking you were talking about sumac. Sumac's also got vitamin C in it.
That's
too.
True. Yeah, it tastes like lemonade. But the stuff we've got now has been run on a lot, and I'm not sure what's left of it.
Right.
Its potency. So, you know, originally I was looking for rose hips. Unfortunately, all the deer have gone through and eaten all of the wild rose hips, and so they weren't available. And so I felt like there was nothing for me to eat to keep my vitamin C. And then somebody reminded me about cedar. It's like, oh shoot, I forgot all about them. You know. And they do make good tea. You can either get the cedar berries and use them. Some people actually gather cedar berries, dry them, crunch them up, and use them for seasoning. Or you can get the sprigs, the green fronds. The newer, the better. But this time of year, they're not going to be new. It's just you get the newest of the ones that are out there. You put them in some hot water and let them steep for a while. The water will turn yellowish. And I don't know. I usually leave the fronds in there and drink that. But you can pull the fronds out and add a little bit of sugar or honey. If I'm going to use sugar, I prefer to use this. You can get lots of raw sugar all over the place now. It's a little more expensive, but it's got the mineral content that you're craving when you crave sugar. You're actually craving minerals. Same thing goes for salt. And you should get sugar and salt that's as close to what nature provides as possible. Don't get the highly processed stuff that's pure sugar or pure salt. Those things aren't really good for you. But if you're going to crave sugar and you're going to crave salt, satisfy it with what your body is actually looking for, something that has those minerals. And you'll be surprised at how your sugar craving and your salt craving will drop when you use those kind of salts and those kind of sugars. So, but, yeah, vitamin C. If you got a pine tree, that's pretty much a good source. Just make some tea. Anyway. All right, that was 15 minutes of conversation. Next. Yeah, this is why we should have a subject and study on it first. All right, so this is our rabbit hole week.
Rabbit hole week. Well, rabbits. Rabbits aren't kosher, right?
No, they're not. They are not kosher. Yeah. I admit, I've eaten rabbits in the past.
That was before you went kosher, though.
That's before I went kosher. I've eaten two or three rabbits. They were on Easter. That's another subject.
Yeah, this dude's a little crazy.
Yes, if you're gonna eat if you're gonna celebrate the Easter Bunny, you should eat it.
Well, I mean, that's what we do on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you eat the turkey on Thanksgiving. You should eat the rabbit on Easter.
Yeah.
Well, up that little rodent.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Who's got the rabbit? Nah, I don't know. I've had rabbit before. I've had rabbit. I've had squirrel. I'd eat it again, probably, I'm sure. I remember it being pretty good, but I don't know. I'm not 100% kosher, but I tend to stick towards it. I'm up maybe like 75% kosher, 75% healthy, and 25% unhealthy. I like pepperoni.
Pepperoni. Yes. And I've got a friend.
Sure.
The seasoning.
Yeah.
I've got a friend who just went and got the pepperoni recipe for the seasoning, and he'll sprinkle it on a cheese pizza, and it tastes just like a pepperoni and cheese pizza.
There you go.
No meat involved. So, you know, get yourself a chicken or a beef, one topping pizza, sprinkle that pepperoni seasoning on it, and you're good to go. So, you know,
if
that seasoning will make a lousy... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, vegans and vegetarians would argue that cheese is meat. You just said no meat required.
No pork required. No pork required. I probably did say new meat required, but yeah. Actually, I think vegetarians will eat egg and cheese. They just won't eat meat.
I know a vegan that eats fish.
Well, yeah, fish is a vegetable, right?
I think it is. It grows in water.
It grows in water. Yeah, it must be a vegetable.
It's got to be a vegetable. It grows in water.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I guess that's her excuse because, so she doesn't have to do the bee shots. I know most vegans and vegetarians have to get bee shots and tend to be nutritionally deficient unless they do certain practices to supplement their diet.
Now, which vitamin B is it in particular they're having trouble with?
That I don't... Ah, son of a gun. I gotta go
What's
back
wrong?
In and get my key. I just got my truck. I just went back out to my truck, and the key is not in the ignition like it's supposed to be. They took it and stuck
Yay,
it
Yay, we get to go on a little road trip with Kano as he goes and retrieves his key.
Yeah. I can mute.
Oh, no, and then I'll have to monologue. Or we'll do five minutes of silence while he's...
There it is. They put it over here on the passenger side.
Yay.
Okay, never mind. Ixnay on that, eh? So, what were we talking about? Vegans, fish? Oh, vitamin
yeah.
B.
Vitamin B, yeah.
Sure.
We're... Okay,
not
well,
sure
let me
exactly
just going to look
what...
up.
Yeah.
Because I know it's possible to eat a healthy vegan diet. But most of us weren't raised to do that. And so most of us who go vegan, if we decide to go vegan, end up malnutritioning ourselves because we don't know to go and get this protein or that protein that we need.
Well, most people are eating vegan or vegetarian out of the grocery store, and a lot of that food is depleted in nutrients.
And carcinogenic on top of that.
Oh, yeah. So, but Marcus Rothkranz and his woman, whoa, man, she... And he are vegan, 100%. And I don't recall them talking about how they have to, you know, get bee shots and whatnot. But they're foragers too. They eat weeds, not just vegetables and fruits and vegetables. They eat their Wheaties. So maybe they're getting, of course. They also do talk about getting B vitamins from the skins of the fruits, vegetables, and vitamins.
Right.
When you buy fruits, vegetables, and fruits and berries, vegetables, when you buy all that stuff in the store, of course, berries tend to be high in vitamin B, but... when you're buying that stuff in the store, it's been washed and it's also been poisoned. So, and then you take it home and wash it again, so you're washing all the B vitamins off of the skins, if there's any left when you take it home. So maybe that's why they don't need to, because they're eating raw.
Right.
raw. And I know I follow Fully Raw Christina on the internet, and she still has to do supplements, but very, very little.
Right. Well, the Raw Francis, they make their own supplements.
Well,
They go on harvest.
Yeah, their supplements are raw weeds, mostly.
Right, and they...
I don't mean that kind of supplement. I mean more like bee shots type of supplements. You know, having to go to the doctor. The idea is to get away from the doctor.
Well, what we'll have to do is we'll have to call and write them and say, hey, what do you do about this? You know, and I'm sure he'll have a good answer. There's a vitamin B. Well, okay. If you want to get your complete B complex, I know how to do it. All right, it's very
in the
easy.
Wild,
more or less.
Okay.
you take any of your wild, anything from the cabbage family, and you ferment it, except for, I think, broccoli. I think broccoli falls down on its face. Either broccoli or cauliflower, it always comes out awful. All right? But basically, you take cabbage or Napa cabbage, and you make your own sauerkraut. Now,
no, I can't stand sauerkraut.
Well, you control the salt level. You want just enough. I've got friends who don't even use water, right? It's basically just salt and cabbage, and you only put enough salt in it to keep it crunchy. If you don't put enough salt, you end up with gray ooze. If you put too much salt, you get
my favorite.
Yeah, fine too. Well, you should have seen what I made last year. It was horrible. Yeah, there's a temperature requirement. I'm not good at this yet, but if you put in too much salt, it won't ferment, and if you put in too little, it ferments too thoroughly. You want to find that balance where it actually ferments, gets a little fizzy even, but doesn't turn to ooze. All right, you want it to be kind of crunchy when you eat it, but that will produce even the vitamin B that you can't normally get from a plant. It's a form of vitamin B that's formed by bacteria. And usually the only way you get that vitamin B is by eating animals who ate stuff that had it in it. And since animals are continuously eating rotten stuff, you know, they get that type of vitamin B all the time. Whereas, you know,
so we can just eat rotten food and that'll
well,
give
what do you
us
think
fun.
Sauerkraut? What do you think sauerkraut is? It's fermented cabbage. Fermented is another word for rotted. But you want to control the rot. You want to control the rot. You don't want it to just go wild and rot however it wants to. You want it to rot in a particular way so it doesn't get you sick.
Right, like eating moldy bread in place of taking penicillin.
Right, you might get some penicillin. And again, you might get something else. Yeah. Yeah, that's another one I'd want to do a controlled experiment on. Anyway. But yeah, you can get your full B complex that way. It's healthier for you than buying, you know, vitamin B's in the store. But it takes a little bit of practice. You know, so you put as little salt as you can and still get, you know, as long as you get a crunchy sauerkraut, but you want to do as little salt as possible. And there you want to use something like sea salt or, you know, something that was, you know, you don't want pure sodium chloride. Pure sodium chloride really isn't good for you. But
sodium chloride, that's like table salt?
That's your Morton table salt. Or, you know, not Morton in particular, it's just, you know, that's Morton's one of the companies that produces it.
Right, up in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. By the way, Morton does produce a sea salt.
Cool.
If you want to buy that. I prefer to get some sort of salt. When I get my sea salt, if I buy it in the store, I try to find something that does not have any anti-caking agent in it. I don't care if it clumps. I want pure sea salt.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, Rothkranz likes Celtic salt. That's his favorite.
Yeah, I think that comes out of mountains. I don't know. Oh, Celtic? No, okay, no, there's Himalayan salt. Yeah, there's some people get this Himalayan pink salt. You know, it's good for you. It's got minerals in it. So, whatever tweets your Twitter, as my friend likes to say sometimes. I probably said it before.
Yeah, whatever tweets your Twitter.
There we go.
Yeah, I kind of do a mixture. I do a blend of sea salt and raw salt. Whatever kind of salt I can find, but I try to make them as raw and natural as possible.
Yep. So, yeah, so that's one way to get vitamin B complex. The full thing, too. Because even the expensive vitamin B supplements sometimes leave out some of the harder to come by vitamin Bs. Because they're expensive. You know, it's hard to extract them and not destroy them.
And well, yeah, because your stomach acids destroy some of the B vitamins also, don't they?
I don't know, but probably. You know, so one of the better ways to get them is to eat a natural, sauerkraut, raw sauerkraut, made properly, is fermented, not pickled. You know, if you put too much salt, you've just pickled it with salt, all right? But if the salt, what the salt will do is slow down the fermentation process. And if it ferments too fast, it'll actually break down all the fibers in the cabbage, and you end up with goo. All right. I don't know if that's bad for you or not, but it's not very palatable to me. I haven't found it very tasty when it does that. I mean, just long consistency or whatever. But, you know, you end up with that. Next time, just make it with a little bit more salt. And when you get to the point where you can make sauerkraut with as little salt as possible, but it's still crunchy, then you pretty well hit the mark. And that's based on my friends who've made lots and lots of sauerkraut. You know, I've had their sauerkraut. I've got a friend who made sauerkraut. Tastes very much like sauerkraut, but it's got a little bit of carbonation on it. So you know it fermented. You know, it actually makes your tongue tickle when you're eating it, not just the sour, salty taste of the cabbage. So, it's good stuff. You know, she adds a little bit of carrot and garlic to it, and it's really tasty. It's good stuff. Matter of fact, I might talk her into making me some sauerkraut, because I'm not.
Yeah, good. You're hungry for it.
I like sauerkraut. I like sauerkraut a lot. So.
Right. I'll have to try it. I think the one or two times I've had it, I didn't like it, but it might be just because of the person who made it.
Well, I don't know. I think some of the best Reuben sandwiches I had, her husband made with her sauerkraut.
Coolness.
Yeah. So. Anyway.
Let's see how long I've been here at the Peterbilt. Broke down. I have been here for... Oh, no, they test drove me and put me on duty. Crap. Messed up my brake. 9 hours. I've been here for 9 hours.
Oh, so they drove your truck and it counts against you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to call my safety people because I got computer logs. I didn't think to mark my truck off-duty driving and in the shop.
Right.
And I can't go back and edit driving time. I can only go back and edit off-duty time or on-duty time as long as it's not driving. So, yeah. I'll just... Actually, I think what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go... I'll just stay the night here. Not like I need to really go anywhere anyways.
Yeah.
Shop and then do post trip. Peterbilt. go off duty. Rest break. Hakuna Matata. It's not like I don't got plenty of hours. Freight's so slow right now. Pick up 9 hours tomorrow, and I so I'll have 20 hours to work tomorrow. I think that's plenty. So, yeah, computer logs. Truck drivers have a love-hate relationship with computer logs. Actually, I kind of like them.
Because they keep you out of trouble.
Well, yeah. I mean, the biggest problem with logbooks is if you're like 15 minutes off for whatever reason, you know, you drew your line wrong by accident or you fudged it on purpose or whatever. If you're 15 minutes off and say a drunk driver drives across the median, runs into your truck and dies, you go to prison for manslaughter, even though it was not your fault. So that's why I like computer logs. I don't have to worry about being paranoid that I screwed up my logbook by accident, like I used to be. I used to be paranoid all the time. So, yeah. But yeah, computer logs, I mean, you can doctor them, but I never doctor mine, or I never edit, hardly ever edit mine. And, I mean, unless it's just a blatant mistake because I forgot to log off or forgot to log on or something like that. Which I do sometimes, but, you know, if I forget to log off and I log an extra 15 minutes on duty, I just let it go. I'm like, whatever, I'll just keep it. Don't even worry about it. But, yeah. People are too happy, especially when they see a big truck. People will cut us off, slam on the brakes, try to get us to hit them. And, you know, I'm a tanker driver, and I'm pulling hazardous materials half the time, actually more than half the time. And people do this stupid crap in front of me a lot. And, you know, they don't realize what dangers they're, causing or not really. They're not causing a danger. They're potentially causing a danger or something like that. They're not just putting their own lives in danger or mine. They're putting, you know, potentially the whole community's life in danger. Depending on
right.
What kind of hazmat I'm hauling. But people don't think about that.
Well, at the very least, they're placing you and themselves in danger. And the people around them. Because, you know, they make a misjudgment, and you actually plow all the way through them. You know, that's going to bring that semi-truck to a sudden stop, and possibly the trailer swing out into other lanes, and or you go over a divider or something like that, you know?
Pretty much. Yeah. Especially with winter coming up. I mean, anything can happen in the winter.
Yep.
So. Yeah. I don't have too big of an issue with that. I mean, it happens, but mostly it's just people being stupid, you know, texting, talking on the phone, not paying attention, swerving left to center, right to center. cutting me off when they, you know, they think that, okay, just because they've cleared my bumper, it's okay to come over. And there's only like maybe a foot or 2 feet between their bumper and my bumper. And, you know, it just scares the living daylights out of me. But it's like this one guy just 2 days ago, or not yesterday, I don't think it was yesterday, it was like 2 days ago, was coming over into my lane. Yeah, I was up in Ohio. He's coming over in my lane because they weren't paying attention. They almost hit me. I honked at them. They went back over into my lane, then flipped me off like I did something wrong. It's like, idiots. But I deal with that every day. It doesn't really faze me all that much anymore. Half the time I'm just like, Forrest Gump. Stupid is what stupid does. I don't let them get my blood pressure up anymore. Sometimes I let them get my blood pressure up, but I don't let people get my blood pressure up anymore. So, I just slow down, back off, whatever, and let them do their thing. But, yeah. Trucking, gotta love it. Speaking of which, I got a website called truckersed.com that I'm working on. It was my old truckerdeek.com website, but I'm converting it to my Truckers Ed website. I had, about 10 years ago, I was going to take the CDL manual and put it on audio CD. And so that people can learn the CDL manual while driving. And preferably like hazmat, because drivers, I mean, as truck drivers, we have to take the hazmat test every time we renew our license. And it's not an easy test. So, I mean, unless you're doing hazmat regularly, you know. And, you know, you're dealing with it on a day-to-day basis, then it's easier. But if you're not, then it's really difficult. And so I was going to do that. But who wants to listen to me talk for 10 hours about hazmat and trucking, right? So I actually had a few women lined up. I was going to pay them. I had contracts written up, the whole nine yards. I was going to pay them $1,000 apiece to read the whole, you know, read the whole thing and record it. And then I was going to piece it all together afterwards and organize and put it out there. And none of them did it. So that never happened. And so I just kind of put that on the back burner. And then I had my Trucker's Ed social network up and running for a couple of years, about maybe 6 years ago. In 1998 or 1999, I launched it, maybe even, not 1999, what am I saying? 2009, and then I think around 2011 I took it down because I just couldn't afford to keep it running anymore. It was getting expensive and I didn't have any way of raising money for it, or, you know, the ways that I was doing wasn't working. So now I'm relaunching it, and I'm basically taking donations, and I am charging a couple bucks a year for membership to help me support the site. And, yeah, so it's going to be pretty cool. I've already posted some hazardous materials information. And when I had the site up and running before, I had a few mothers actually contact me and said that they appreciated my site because their children were learning from it. Their children had found it, and they liked the material, and they liked, you know, they liked what I was doing, and the kids and the mothers. So that was good. And so I'd like to, you know, exceed that with my new site, make it even better. It'll be free to browse, but in order for anybody to post or be interactive on the site, it'll be a, you know, a couple bucks a year for membership. And then that'll also help me block scammers and spammers too. So yeah. But I also have truckerdate.com, and that is now going to be a pay site as of January 1st, 2016. So that, too, will help support Trucker's Ed. So it'll be kind of like a dual sponsorship. I'll be promoting both of them on both sites, and they'll be kind of helping take care of each other.
All righty.
So there goes our sponsoring, our advertisements for the day.
A little bit of self-advertising, but all the same.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any other sponsors. I'm the only sponsor. Well, and of course, don't forget to check out our off-grid organic hippie farm that we're creating.
Woo-hoo! Where we raise off-grid organic hippies.
Yes, and ship them off to California, as David would say.
Ship off to California when they get mature enough.
Right.
Yep.
So check that out at davidanddavid.com. And you'll be able to see all the other things that we're doing with alternative health, alternative energy, and alternative thinking.
Yes, mostly alternative thinking at this point.
Yeah, mostly alternative thinking at this point. And I totally forgot what I was going to say. But it's okay. I think I'm going to wind down and maybe watch a movie and then pass out.
You know, you got 12 minutes to go before you can do that.
12 more minutes. Oh, we're going for an hour. Is that what we're doing?
Isn't that how long our podcasts are supposed to be?
Well, it can be, yeah, I guess so. Hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, 100 hours. It doesn't really matter. As long as people are listening to them, that's what matters. Listen to our podcasts. All right, I'm going to hypnotize you. Send some subliminal messages to your brain.
That only works if somebody's actually listening.
I know, right? And call in if, well, yeah, they can only call in if we remember to call in ourselves.
Right. Yep.
All right, okay. So, well, 10 minutes left. When are we going to have our next podcast? And so we can put it on our reminders to remind us so we don't forget.
At this point, we decided on, was it 6 o'clock or 6:30? 6:30 Friday. Right, and that's, Central Time?
Central Time.
Yeah. Central Time. Missouri Time. Ozark Time, okay?
Ozark time,
the
Ozark Plateau.
18:30 Ozark Plateau time, which Shirley today, she laughed at me calling it the Ozark Plateau. She goes, "How's it a plateau?" You know, to her understanding, a plateau is a flat table area with a sharp drop off. And to be honest, I have not seen any part of the Ozark Plateau that is flat. And I haven't seen any of it that has a sharp drop-off. So, yeah, I think she's right. This is not really a plateau. But they do have a very definite line drawn around it.
Yeah.
Say what?
I have seen some sharp drop-offs and some sections that are flat. But I don't think it's flat all the way across the board and have a sharp drop-off on all sides.
Now, the Ozarks are kind of known for being up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a loop of oatmeal thrown down on the plate. lots of lump.
It's like the rest of the earth being flat.
Yes. The other earth's kind of like the rough scab in the middle of a flat area.
Right. Okay, so the flat toe, the Missouri flat toe time, 6:30 Missouri flat toe time.
Flat toe time.
Every Friday.
Every Friday. Until we change it. Until we put in a scheduled change of the time. Right.
Right.
Not
don't forget.
Right. And to be honest, that time is based on
sunset.
Well, for any of you Sabbath keepers out there, you know that Sabbath begins at sunset, and at this time of year, the sun sets about 5 o'clock, and that gives me about an hour and a half to drive from wherever I was working that day and got off work at sunset because my employer let me go at sunset. And that gives me enough time to drive from no signal to some with signal. So,
okay. So
cause I often
summer,
work places. Yeah, summer, it might change radically because, you know, the sun sets as late as 9 o'clock in the evening. So I don't know. I'll just have to tell people, listen, I need to be off by 5 o'clock on Friday. No ifs, ands, or buts. Doesn't matter if the sun ain't going to set for another 4 hours.
Well, we could change it by 1 hour.
Well, and then are we going to concede to daylight savings time?
True.
Because, you know, quite frankly, you know, I don't believe in that crap, and I honestly believe we should, I believe as a nation, as a continent, we should reject it altogether and say, what the hell's the matter with you? I'm not changing my clock.
Yeah, I always thought it was stupid. I really never did fully understand the whole concept behind the idea, besides the fact that the sun changes. But, you know, there's like, the sun doesn't rise earlier and set earlier, and that's what I kind of was thinking growing up, you know, that, oh, we changed it because the sun rises early, you know, in the fall, the sun rises earlier and sets earlier during the day. But it's not like that.
If your business is dependent on, if your business is dependent on what time the sun rises and what time it sets, then change your hours. All right? But leave the rest of us alone. All right? To be honest, my business does change, is dependent on sunrise and sunset, because I got to get up before my animals do. And my animals get up at sunrise. And I got to wake up the rooster so he knows when to crow. Yeah, he kind of lets me know if I slept in, because, you know, that sun comes up, he's letting me know just before it rises. All right. The animals don't care what the clock says. They only care what the sun says. And so, you know, if you're working an 8-hour day, you know, it's like, you know, you don't really care what the sun is. You just want to get to your business on time, hit the clock on time. It's like, okay, that's fine. That's fine. But don't go changing the clock on me. Because it doesn't, you know, it's just stupid.
Yeah, I just think the whole thing's retarded. I mean, it doesn't bother me either way. I mean, I'll do it. I do it just because everybody else does it, but I've always thought it, well, not always. For the last 20 years, the last half of my life, I thought it was retarded. The first half of my life, I had no clue what, I had no real clue about it. I just went along with the the rest of the sheeple.
Yeah, I mean, one of the excuses is, one of the biggest excuses they used to make is they'd tell my kids who were going to public school, well, the reason they do it is to save energy for the farms. It's like, let's think this over. The farmer is not going to get up an hour later just because the clock changed by an hour. He's going to get up before his animals wake up because they're going to expect to be milked the same time regardless of what the clock says every day, right? Because, you know.
Right, because they got an internal clock.
Yeah, they got an internal clock. I mean, that milk lets down when it lets down. He's got to milk those cows at a certain time, and it's based on the cow's physiology, not what some mechanical device says, not some, you know, something hanging on the wall.
Bureaucrat.
Okay. Yeah. You know, you can't dictate the laws of gravity by changing the law in Congress. And if you think you can, you're stupid.
Hey now,
you know?
We're not supposed to talk like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my very strongly held religious belief.
Yeah. I'm just kidding anyways. I mean, you know.
Oh, and for those of you who are stupid, I'm sorry I insulted you. Not really. If you're one of those who thinks that milk is manufactured in the back of the grocery store, like some of the Californian kids I ran into when I lived out there.
Ooh, that reminds me. We need to grow Twinkie trees.
Twinkie trees. Yeah, but we need to use some of the original Twinkies for seed, not the new ones that they've been making.
No, that's going to be expensive.
True, but they're still viable.
Oh, true. You can bury them for, what, 100 years?
Whatever. You know.
And they're still viable? Well, I don't know.
They're just as edible, in quotes, as they were the day they were manufactured.
Goodness. So what was you going to say about the cow farm in the back of the grocery store?
Well, yeah, I mean, some of the college kids even thought that milk was manufactured back in the back of the grocery store. They didn't, you know, if you told them it came from a cow, they would have freaked out and stopped drinking the stuff. Like, what? That can't be natural.
That's funny.
No, it's got to be chemicals mixed together in the back of the store. It's something comes out of an animal, that can't be good for you.
The hippies are the tree huggers.
Yeah.
The tree huggers that don't know milk comes from a cow.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Well, that's where we're going to rip hippies out here and ship them off to California.
Okay.
We're going to
tell some real hippies to educate the fake hippies.
Right. We're gonna raise a new breed of intelligent, organic-minded permaculture hippies and ship
Midwest,
them off to California.
Midwest grass-fed hippies.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
To go out and unbrainwash the hippies on the West Coast.
Well, we need to send them to both coasts, to be honest. We need to send them worldwide, but, I mean, you know, the focus is, you know, hit that West Coast, straighten them out. Everything from Washington down to Baja, Heck, send some up into Vancouver. I think that's up north of Washington, isn't it? Forgive my geography.
British Columbia, Vancouver.
British Columbia, yeah. Yeah, might even have a few go up to Alaska. I recently learned that Alaskans tend not to plan for anything 2 weeks ahead of time. I don't know if that's true or not. It's just a rumor I heard tonight. So, but that's from someone who actually lived up in Alaska for a while. So that was bewilderingly. It's like, what? They knew a lot of people who only kept a two-week supply of firewood? Are you nuts? It's Alaska.
Crazy.
You know? Oh, well. All righty. Well, we still haven't figured out how to do bumper music and, you know, say so long and stuff like that, but it's turned into an enjoyable hour at the very least for us. I don't know about for you guys. Please let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know what you want to hear about and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I think that's it for our podcast tonight. Say what?
Yeah, you can always, I said they can always call in, too. We can talk about whatever they want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything. I mean, you want to talk about aliens? We'll talk about aliens.
Take me to your leader.
Yeah. I don't know if I believe in them or not, but, I mean, it's like, it's an awful big universe. It'd be awful wasted if there weren't any.
Well, I
don't think God wastes anything. Say again? Hello. I believe we lost our other host. Or you've lost me. I might have a dead phone. Nope, my phone's still alive. So, anyway, good night, and listen to all of you next week, and I guess I'll hang up and hope that ends the recording. Take care.